welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Comedy coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear the Fibber McGann Molly program from 1952. But right now, it's the Milton Berle Show with a salute to football from November 4th, 1947 on NBC.
First cousin Jack Albertson, Mary Shipp, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, Al Kelly, our singing star Dick Barney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Smart writing.
This is the peak of the football season. In saluting football tonight, we bring you a comedian who has the perfect football head. It's full of air, and it comes to a point. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, did you say that I have a head like a football? Mr. Gallup, you've irked me. You've definitely irked me, and if there's one thing I can't stand, it's an irk. Saying my head comes to a point. I can't help it. My mother was scared by your nose. How about that, waxy?
Earl, if you're quite through with this vulgar display of barnyard comedy...
Well, you started it. You started it, Mr. Gallup. Gee willikers. When you said that my head was like a football, you hurt me. You cut me. You really cut me. I have an incision. And lucky for you, oysters are incision. Oysters are incision? Oh, Abbott, if Costello ever leaves you, here I am. See, Mr. Gallup, that's how I got my reputation. I can take a program that starts out like it's dying and with three fast jokes, bury it. So don't laugh, Mr. Gallup, because if I had said that you had a head like a football, what would you have said?
What a blow for Princess Elizabeth.
Mr. Gallup, please. Dear Mr. Gallup, egg-laying Mr. Gallup, for 3 weeks now, you've told the same joke. Why do you repeat every week? What have you been living on, radishes? You never... What have you been living on, radishes? Are you mad because I won't let you sleep? You never... Mr. Gallup, you never hear me repeat my jokes, do you?
No, only Bob Hope. My word, that was a gay one, wasn't it?
Yes, that was jazzy. Mr. Gallup, look at me. Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Just for tonight, lay off the jokes. Won't you? Won't you? Because at this very moment, you don't know this, but a group of executives is sitting around a conference table discussing my options.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a fighting chance, won't you?
I'm sorry, Berle. You know, I've become quite fond of you.
You have?
Yes. When first I came on this program, I expected you to be a vulgar, moronic, loudmouthed boor.
And I'm not?
You are, but I got used to you.
You're so titanic. You're so clever, Mr. Gallup. Don't stop. Can't you think of any other insulting words to describe me? Please, no coaching from the audience. Everybody is always ready to insult me. I mean it. Honest, I'm a nice guy. I'm kind to animals. I wear an Adam's hat. My teeth have that oxidol sparkle. I wear Adler elevator shoes. Now I'm so much taller than she, I keep tripping over it. It's terrible.
Oh, come, come. Don't feel that way, Milton.
Well, Milton? Did you call me Milton? Mr. Gallup, you call me Milton?
I know.
Gee, can I call you Frank?
No.
Just asked. I thought maybe we could be friends.
Don't press your luck.
No, Mr. Gallup, sir.
Now get on with your program.
Yes, Mr. Gallup, sir.
Go ahead. Be funny.
Drop dead, Mr. Gallup.
What was that?
I said, let's get ahead, Mr. Gallup. And we certainly will as we salute the sport of the hour, King Football. Football, thrilling sport for millions. Football, a game you spend 4 years playing for the old alma mater just so you can get a big letter to put where your ribs used to be. Yes, it's football. Ladies and gentlemen, if many of you find modern football getting too complicated, it will all be clearly explained to you by none other than that celebrated football coach, Clarence Biff Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Finster.
Thank you, thank you.
Coach, would you answer some of the football questions written in by our listeners?
Why, I would be quite terminated to give you the very best of my advice for Troy, but they'll receive it. But keep them short.
Yes, I'll keep them short. Yes, sir. Here is a question from a gentleman in Scranton. He asks, what's the difference between the T formation and the double wingback?
That's simple.
It is?
Yeah. You see, in the T formation, if you are the quarterback,
yeah,
you get the ball and you give it over to the guy who has his own frame. Now, he doesn't know that you're going to reverse on the end because that's the way the lateral butt would have to give back to throw him, and you're definitely left with the tackle of your spearman. But don't let your end get out too far.
A lady in Des Moines writes, has anyone ever tried to fix college games?
What a coincidence. Huh? You know, last year a gambler came up to me and said, Coach Finster, I would like to brace a Foreman Clay McClay for trial. He would like to brace a Cole McClay himself for trial. Who wouldn't? Well, I said to him, how dare you raise my grill, May? What, do I look like a flame? And would you believe it?
What?
Today, that man is a millionaire.
Coach, look, before you leave, would you give your famous pep talk that you give your players between the halves?
Gladly.
All right.
I say, men, I want you to go out there and palmeroy with your finest of clay for Selman. Give them the old Newman drive, Selman. Remember, every cloud has a silver lining for. Stand on your own two lives and boys. I can only tell you in the words of that great Dreilich, Sir Henry Maddlesboy, who said, quote, keep up the film, hit that mace talent, grow the fans, unquote. Now, men, put on your gotchas, get into your trail, listen to that snippet, and get out there and die for dear old Malman Clyde.
Thank you, Coach Finster. Thank you. Coach Finster. Ah, Mr. Gallup, on those crisp fall days when we hear the cheers of football fans, it brings back all of us memories of those golden college days. When you walked across the campus with that one and only girl as you sang down the old Ox Road. You will never find out where it is by looking at maps. With a little investigation, you'll discover perhaps Don't play with just your elbows, will you, please? Ah, the old Ox Road. Precious college memories of Cynthia. Will I ever forget those walks down the old Ox Road with Cynthia? How proud I was of her. She was the biggest ox on the road. Cynthia, can anything ever erase those 14 wonderful years we spent in college? Oh, Cynthia. She was in college so long, ivy kept growing up her legs. Haunting memories of that last senior prom. When I took Cynthia home after the dance, her head was on my shoulder. Someone else carried her feet. Beautiful, captivating Cynthia. Yes, she dressed like the other co-eds. That sloppy Joe Sweather, those sloppy white shoes, those sloppy bobby socks. But somehow on Cynthia, they looked different. Sloppier. Remember the night that we quarreled, Cynthia? You took off my fraternity pin and you gave it back to me. Oh, what a mistake. You shouldn't have taken off that pin. That's what held up your overalls. That's what held up the hooper. But it's the little things I remember about Cynthia. Her tinkling little laugh that night before the big game when they threw her on the bonfire. Yes, she was my old flame. But she made an ash of herself. So until they send her back to me, I'll travel alone down the old Ox Road. Fine. That's short music, huh? You think that's short? Wait till after December 31st. That was the Washington... That was the Washington and Lee Swing, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, incidentally, what you played of it was really swell. Nothing can describe the way I feel about your playing. And do you know why? Because that's the way I feel about your playing. Nothing. I'm only kidding, Ray. You know what I really think about you? Nothing. You know what I think about that joke? And now, as we continue our salute to football, we present...
Football Forum tonight. Football Forum tonight. The question, will football scrimmage ever take the place of shopping in Gimble's basement?
Nothing. Now, let us... What a blow to Prudential. Let us have questions. Let us have questions from the audience now. Let's start the forum, please. Let us start with this elderly gentleman here gumming an oatmeal cookie. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burrow, I can use a man with your personality and your strength. I'd like you to be the leader of my team.
You want me to be the leader? You have a football team?
No, I have a dog sled team.
Again, double nothing. Thank you. Thank you, Admiral Byrd. Let us continue. All right, this young man here wearing the snakeskin bib. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Louis the 14th.
Louis the 14th?
Don't confuse me with that French king. No. He's dead. I'm alive.
Don't bet on it. Your name is Louis the 14th?
Yeah. We got 14 Louis in our family. I'm the 14th.
But you mean everybody in your family is named Louis?
Don't be ridiculous. My mother couldn't be a Louis. She's a woman.
That's right. What is your mother's name?
Irving.
All right, Seymour. You have a question. You have a question that has to do with football.
No, I hate football. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you see,
football,
we have...
Football, I can't think of a duller subject unless maybe it's talking about you.
Now, look...
I'll talk about anything. Horses, bubblegum, Jack Eichen, but I won't talk about football.
All right, but we're trying...
Why don't you talk about baseball? You ashamed of our national pastime?
No, but the season is
over. Where can you crown a guy with a pop pot with your dirty names at the umpire? Baseball.
All right,
where else can you stuff yourself with hot dogs and peanuts and double up and a double header? Baseball.
Please.
And don't take a flying tackle for yourself.
Let us get on to the ladies. All right, this lady in the aisle, burning leaves. What is your name, young lady?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with football?
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from playing football? He's getting himself mitered, this dope.
Your husband gets hurt when he plays?
Mauled. He even got a trick knee.
He has a trick knee?
It comes off.
I understand.
One day they brought him home. There was a big bone sticking out of the side of his head.
Oh, that's terrible.
What's terrible? It was only his nose.
His nose?
For a week he was smelling everything sideways.
Gee, it must have been awful with his nose to one side.
Are you kidding? It was the first time I was able to kiss him without getting stabbed.
I see what you mean. And what do you think of him? Is he a good football player?
He's a great kicker. Last week he kicked a football so far they couldn't find it.
They couldn't find the ball?
They couldn't find his toe.
So that's dreadful.
He comes home from them games all banged up with lumps all over his body.
Lumps all over his body?
It's like sleeping next to a sack of doorknobs.
Has your husband ever starred in a game?
Last week he was a big sensation. The coach said, Feeney, put on your helmet and run out in the field.
He put on his helmet and was a big sensation?
Yeah, that's all he wore.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No forum on football would be complete without a representative of the toughest and most rugged of all leagues, professional football. Thus, it is a privilege to present at this time one of the truly great gridiron stars of the pro football ranks. That smashing, tearing, stampeding Goliath, Bronco Featherfield. Mr. Featherfield. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Thank you for giving me this golden opportunity for explaining the trials and tribulations of my glorious but greatly misunderstood profession.
But Bronco, what professional football team do you play with? The Chicago Bears, the Los Angeles Rams, or the Philadelphia Eagles?
The Pitkin Polecats.
The Pitkin Polecats?
Oh, we're a very strong team.
I can imagine, yes.
With the wind behind us, we can overpower anybody.
I believe it, Bronco. It must take great courage to play professional football.
Doesn't it, though, Mr. Brown? Last Sunday, I caught a kickoff, and there, pounding down the field at me, were 11 huge men. Mm. I had to call on my manhood.
What happened?
No answer.
Mr. Featherfield, why did you get into professional football?
My wife likes me to be near her.
Oh, I see. Your wife is a great fan?
She's the fullback.
Wait, your wife is a fullback?
In every sense of the word.
I see what you mean. Both of you in football, your home life must be congenial.
Yes, my wife is always practicing. All day long, she tackles the dummy.
Yes?
Then I get up and she tackles me again.
Tell us something of your own exploits, Bronco.
In the first game of the season, I zigged, zagged, and snake-hipped my way 98 yards through the entire opposing team.
A 98-yard run? Why, that's wonderful.
Yes. If I'd have had the ball, it would have been a touchdown.
Wait a minute, you didn't have the ball?
Well, Mr. Bell, when you run 98 yards, you can't think of everything.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Now here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing and Mimi.
On the Rue de la Paix, there was once a cabaret. As the night went along, there was suddenly a sound in Mimi. All the world seemed to say that they loved the cabaret and Mimi. But I knew that when she'd see me, Mimi sang for me alive. For dancing with the one that I adore. Taught her the dance and its fashion, and for me she's singing no more. On the Rue de la Paix, there was once a cabaret and Mimi. Now I'm sitting sad and dreaming, just for Mimi and her song. Now I'm sitting sad and dreaming, just for Mimi and her song.
It translated means, gee, kid, you sing like a boy.
You know Mr. Gallup?
I know him well.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's clever. That's so cute.
Come, 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 Burl. We laid an egg. Let's not stand around cackling over it.
Oh, you did, didn't you? Some yolk. Mr. G., all this talk about football tonight reminds me of the Army-Notre Dame game that I saw last year. Did I ever tell you about it?
No, you never did.
Why didn't you?
You never did.
Well, last year, on this Saturday of the Army-Notre Dame game, uh-huh, my wife and I were down at the stadium very early.
Tickets, hold your own ticket.
Milton, imagine standing in line here a whole hour before the game.
I'm just making sure, darling, that I don't miss anything. It took me a year to get these Notre Dame tickets. I had to write to Pat O'Brien personally. Boy. Boy. Watch those fighting Irish murder the Army.
I'm for the Army. I think it's sweet of them to have that girl on the team, Blanche Davis.
Blanche. That's Blanchard and Davis. Oh, we're here at the gate. Well, look at that line behind us.
Tickets,
I'm glad we got here.
Tickets.
Oh, yes. The tickets. Quick. Well, darling, where are the tickets?
I have them here in my purse.
Well, quick. Give me the purse.
Milton, you're spilling it. Look out.
You really came loaded, didn't you, dear? Let's pick it up.
Come on, step out of line, Nick.
Well, wait, young man. It'll just take a second. Somewhere in this mess of the tickets, let's see. Here's the hubcap of an Essex. A framed picture of Harry Horlick and his A&P gypsies. A pound of putty. Where's those tickets? Oh, no, the game is starting.
At That was Blanchard through the line for 6 yards, brought down by Wishnuchetnikov Oblomovitz of the Irish.
Oh, we missed the kickoff. Usher, how much farther up? My ears just popped.
Here are your seats, sir. Number 1 and 2, row double Z.
Wait, there's people sitting in our seats.
I'll handle this. Hey, you, let me see your tickets.
Tickets. Go away. I don't want no tickets. Scram. Come on, you Dodgers!
Dodgers? This always happens to me. Usher, will you mop him up?
Look, mister, you're in the wrong seat.
Shh. I sneaked in.
What a game. What a... Hooray for Lorraine and Leo!
Let me handle this. Listen, you souse. Get out of those seats before I pour you out.
Okay. See? When you ask me like a gentleman, I'm willing to divide. You want a drink?
No.
What's the matter? You sick? Let's go, Mabel.
Coming, Farnsworth.
Oh, brother. There's one at every game. Sit down, dear. Now for some football.
That's the end of the first quarter.
See, that was fast. See, we missed the whole quarter.
Look, the Army boys look so small. Why don't they put in that big, tough player standing on the sideline?
Put on your glasses. That's the Army mule. Now, relax. Look, they're starting again.
There's a Notre Dame substitution. Jerkanjolov Bopanovich going in for Golda Clyde Abulinovsky.
Come on, you Irish. Rah!
Excuse me, sir.
Rah!
May I see your tickets?
Come on, my tickets. I just sat down. See, row double Z.
Sorry, you're in row double Z, but on the other side of the stadium.
Now, listen.
Now, Milton, don't start anything.
All right, come on, let's hurry.
That was Davis around in for 3 yards, brought down by Cincala's up Sabuzzatelli of the Irish.
Usher.
This way, sir. Just one more row.
Oh, one more row. I won't make it. Watch out, dear. Don't trip over my tongue. Usher, where are our seats?
Right here, sir.
Look, someone's sitting in them.
I'll get them out. Hey, those are our seats.
Ah, sure, again, huh? What's the matter around here? Sure, go away. Come on, cookie lover. Jello.
Now, look, Buster. Get out of our seats.
Don't shut me. No, keep your hands up.
Have a drink?
No.
Poor man. Let's go. Come on, Mabel.
Coming, Farnsworth.
Gee, I could run my car all winter on his breath. Sit down, dear. Come on, you Irish.
Time out for Notre Dame.
When will I see something?
Here are some substitutions. O'Sullivan going in for Notre Dame.
O'Sullivan, it's about time.
Correction, please. O'Sullivan going in for Army. Ramo Bolanini Petrilovich going in for Notre Dame.
It figures. Something's going to happen.
Milton, what was that?
That was the end of the first half.
Milton, I'm hungry. Will you run down and get me?
I'm hungry. Will you get me? I'm not moving from this seat. During the half, the Army has its famous parade of the cadets. The most thrilling sight in the world. Look, darling. Here they go. Hooray!
May I see your ticket?
Yes.
My ticket. I just sat down. Feel it. The seat is still cold. See? Row double Z.
You're in row double Z, but in the lower stand.
Oh, no. Here we go again. Geronimo!
Davis of Army is brought down by O'Houlihan, also of Army.
Usher.
Just a few more rows, sir.
A few more rows?
Are you all right, Milton?
Yes, dear. You can put me down now. Where's our seats?
Right here, sir.
Milton, someone's in them.
Now, look, you...
Watch him out of here. You're following me around. Come on, Babe Diddlerson. Help Peter here.
Get out of my seats. Now, go away.
Yes, sir. You want a drink?
Yes, I do. I need one.
Sorry, I'm all out. Let's go, Mabel.
Coming, Farnsworth.
Now, at last, the game. Come on, anything.
Milton, someone fired a gun.
Yes, they fired a gun. The game is over. It's over. The game is over.
Well, let's go home.
Home? No. It took us 2 hours to get these seats. Now, let's sit here and rest for a while.
May I see your tickets, please?
See my tickets?
What's on them tickets, anyway? A picture of Jane Russell?
Sorry, sir, a mistake.
Yeah, there's one mistake too many. I'm getting my money back. I want to see the manager. Take me to the manager. Take me to the manager.
Right in here, sir. This is the manager's office.
No one shoving me around.
Mr. Bibble,
this gentleman to see you.
Oh, he wants to see me? What's the matter now?
Oh, no.
Let's go, Mabel.
Coming, Farnsworth.
Thank you very much. We're a little late. May I say good night? This is your boyfriend, Milton, saying au revoir.
Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Milton Berle Show on Tuned to Yesterday from November 4th, 1947 on NBC. That would be the first season of Berle's program on the network. Earlier in the year, in March, he had appeared as special guest on It Pays to Be Ignorant to promote the program and as special guest on The Fred Allen Show, where he was needling Allen to have him be the singer on his new show. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now Jim and Marion Jordan star as Fibber McGee and Molly. This episode from later in their careers on NBC from January 15th, 1952.
Fibber McGee and Molly. The first evaporated milk, Pet Milk, presents Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Vic LeGrand, Myra Marsh, Colleen Collins, Bob Bruce, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Keith Fowler and directed by Max Hutto with music by the King's Band and Billy Mills Orchestra. This is the day of the rummage sale at the Wistful Vista Women's Club. And the living room at number 79 looks like a cyclone had hit a secondhand clothing store. As we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
And I told some of the ladies we'd take their stuff down to the sale for the McGee's, so they dropped it off here, you see.
Oh, yeah, they should have dropped it off the dock at Dugan's Lake. That's the crummiest-looking collection of rummage I ever popped a peeper at.
Now, it isn't that bad, dearie.
Oh, look at it. Anybody'd swear a bunch of scarecrows had come in here and done a striptease. You actually expect to sell this stuff?
Why, of course. You know, I've been in charge of the clothing booth at these sales for years, and I always make my quota.
Well, you'll be lucky today to make a dime. This stuff ain't worth a quota. Don't you get it, Molly? Quota, quota, four quotas make a dollar.
Ain't funny, McGee.
I'm out of practice. Anyhow, you got to admit there's some pretty weird-looking junk here. Where'd you get this woman's hat?
Well, Mrs. Shields brought that in.
Oh, she did.
She said she bought it for $18.95.
You mean she bought it in $18.95? But even so, it ain't any worse than this gosh-awful kimono. Who'd you get this thing from?
Mrs. Ross gave us that.
Mrs. Ross?
Mm-hmm. She said it was a valuable Chinese kimono, and to be sure and call people's attention to the oriental designs on it. Mm-hmm. That's a dragon in front.
Mm-hmm. I bet when she had it on, it was a dragon in the rear, too. Boy, if this is the kind of stuff we got to sell...
Oh, no, I'm not worried, sweetheart. Mm. With you to help me, with your super salesmanship, we'll fracture them.
Well, I will admit that if anybody can peddle this batch of moth bait, I'm the guy you're looking at. I've been a natural-born salesman ever since I was a kid in ankle pants.
Ankle pants?
My big brother's knee pants. I remember when all the kids in town were trying to get a jackknife with a special gimmick for taking stones out of horses' hoofs. You got it by selling 500 bars of Simpkins Sassafras scented soap. And I was the only kid that made the grade.
You sold 500 bars of it?
To my mother. And the whole family smelt like sassafras for 15 years.
Well, I was really getting a jackknife the hard way.
Yeah, it turned out to be not worth it, too, either. On account of I never did find a horse with a stone in its hoof. I lifted so many horses' legs, they started to shy away when they seen me coming.
What a pity.
I also lifted a mule's leg, too, but it didn't have a stone in its hoof, too, either. At least that's what they told me when they dragged me out of the mud hole and kicked me in.
Ah, you did live dangerously, didn't you?
Ah, yes, but that's in the past. But I always have been a heck of a good salesman. Even with this kind of junk to work with, I guarantee I'll sell more rummage than anybody there, Tootsie.
Well, I'm sure you will.
Yep.
Although old Mayor Latrivia has made the same promise. You know what? He's helping Mrs. Bailey at the furniture booth, and he claims he'll outsell both of us.
Latrivia? He couldn't sell saw blades and sinks in that guy. Well, you gather up the stuff, kiddo, while I get my hat, and let's get down there and get this thing started.
Oh, now, just a minute, dearie. Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hello there, kids. Where are you going? Someplace?
Just taking these things down for the women's club rummage sale, Oldtimer. Care to contribute some old clothes to the cause?
Nope, not me, Johnny.
Well, why don't you, Mr. Oldtimer? It would show your civic spirit.
Show more than that, daughter. The only old clothes I got is the ones I'm wearing.
Okay, you're excused, but you ought to come to the sale anyway. I'm going to be their head salesman there today.
Maybe I could give you some pointers, Johnny.
Oh?
I used to be quite a salesman myself at one time. Worked out of a suitcase on street corners.
Oh, a pitch man, eh? What'd you sell?
Everything, son. I started off with the miracle of the century. The little nifty necktie cleaner. Guaranteed to remove the spots from any necktie.
Did it work good?
It worked too good, son. Removed the spots from most of the stripes.
Well, I hope you quit selling it.
Yep. I switched over to a special tonic, daughter. Composed of 1% Tabasco sauce, 1% turpentine, 98% alcohol, and a dash of gunpowder. And it was for people that suffered from rheumatism and lumbago.
It cured those things?
Nope, but it made you forget you had them. Tonic was invented by an Indian chief.
Oh.
He took the first dose, and the formula passed on to his wife, Princess Watchagumiwiki.
Watchagumiwiki?
That means widow of the man who exploded.
I see. The guy took a powder and blew, did he?
Took a powder and blew. That's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. One feller says, t'other feller says, hey, says, I read where Mr. Truman is planning little change for the revenue department. That's so, says t'other feller. Well, he needn't look at me. They got all my change this morning.
Billy Mills for the orchestra and soliloquy.
Oh, here you are, Molly. I've been wondering about you, kiddo. Where'd you run off to?
Well, I went to hang up our coats in the cloakroom, dearie.
Oh.
Quite a few people starting to come in, aren't there?
Yeah, I already made one sale, if I never make another one. You know that straw skimmer that Mort Toops donated?
You mean the one with the band that says Chicken Inspector on it?
Yep.
Well, now, who on earth did you sell that to?
A guy with the city poultry department.
You mean?
Yep, a chicken inspector. I've been busy arranging the stuff here, such as it is.
Well, it looks good.
I hung up that canvas hammock there and put all the shoes in it. Say, how'd the canvas hammock ever get mixed up with all these old clothes, anyhow?
That isn't a hammock.
Huh?
That's Mrs. Spradley's corset.
Well, it's too late to dump all the shoes out of it now. I don't know how we're going to raise any dough with junk we got in this booth, Molly. Uh-oh, look. Ain't this old man McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank's wife, coming?
Yeah. Mm. Look at the walk on her. Mm-hmm. The way she prances in here, you'd think she owned the building.
Mm-hmm.
And come to think of it, she does.
Yeah, they're so rich.
Hello, Mrs. McDonald. So nice to see you, dear.
Well, hello, Mrs. McGee. You're looking lovely. I only hope I can look as good at your age, dear.
Well, I'm sure you must have, dear. Well, now, what brings you down to our rummage sale? Looking for a spring outfit, are you?
What a cute sense of humor. I just dropped in, really, to make sure that you got my donation all right. I sent a bundle down with the butler.
Yes, he brought it, and thank you so much. It's lovely.
Quite all right, dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And thanks for the bundle. Some bundle.
What'd she send?
A pair of basketball bloomers. Size 48. Mm. 3 bandana handkerchiefs, a leather helmet and goggles, and a bright green shawl.
Wow.
Now, what on earth will we do with that?
Well, it might come in handy for a fat lady with a bad cold who wants to ride a motorcycle in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Well, give me the bundle and I'll stir up some action. All right, folks, how much am I bid for this bundle?
I bid 2 cents.
2 cents? Oh, hi, Ollie.
Hello, McGee.
Well, hi, Ollie.
Oh, you're fine,
Mrs. Hey, you ain't going to get all this stuff for no 2 cents. What's the idea of making a bid like that, Ollie?
Well, me and my missus have a fight. And
oh?
She say for 2 cents I go home to motor.
Oh,
I think I better send the 2 cents before I give it to her.
My goodness, what were you two quarreling about?
Well, every Monday, the missus stay late at her bridge club, so I come home and fix dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I put sauerkraut on the boil, I lay spare ribs out on the table, begin to sift the flour for the dumplings, and then things go wrong.
What happened, Ollie?
Well, first the doorbell rings, so I go to the door with apron on and flour sifter in my hand, and it's a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
He say good evening, and I hit him with a flower sifter.
Why did you hit the poor lad for saying good evening?
It was the way he said it. Good evening, madam. So I slammed the door, go back to the kitchen, and our dog Jupiter, he's got the spare in.
Uh-oh.
Chews the meat off of half of them, and is trying to bury the bones in the garbage, I suppose.
Heavenly days.
So I chase Jupiter out into the yard, and when I come back to the kitchen, the sauerkraut is boiled over on the floor.
Wow.
I slip into sauerkraut juice and sit down so hard the flour sifter falls off the table on my head.
Boy, you were having a time.
And while I sit there scraping the flour off my face, my boy Sven sticks his head in the kitchen and says, "Hi, Pop, let's cookin'." So I throw the cockeyed sauerkraut at Sven.
Well, I can see why those things made you mad, Ollie, but where does your wife come in?
Through the back door with her arms full of groceries. She says, "That's you fixing dinner?" And I say, "I was," and she says, "Too bad. I meant to tell you my bridge club was canceled and I was going to cook dinner tonight."
Hmm.
So then you had words?
Well, she had words. Me, I used to lie there in the sauerkraut juice and have hysterics.
That's so long, don't you? So long.
Poor old, he really has his troubles,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Well, I got mine, too. Latrivia's probably doing a land office business at his booth, but me, with this junk we got to sell, I haven't got a chance.
Say, McGee, try selling this red silk petticoat Mrs. Robinson gave us.
Oh.
That might attract attention.
Yeah.
It did the night her house caught fire and she ran down the street in it.
Yeah, give me it. By George,
hello,
I got...
Molly. Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. Could I interest you in a silk petticoat?
No, pal. You in a silk petticoat wouldn't interest me at all.
To sell it, Mr. Wilcox, not model it. Say, have you found anything that you like at this sale?
Well, not so far, Molly. I thought I might find some neckties to replace the ones that were stolen the other night.
Oh, you had a robbery at your house?
Yes, they took 4 suits, 2 top coats, all my shirts and ties, my watch, and $80 in cash. Boy, was I lucky.
Lucky?
Sure. If they'd thought to go into the kitchen, they'd have taken the platter of barbecued corn and meatballs that I'd made with pet evaporated milk.
Oh.
That would have broken my heart.
Oh, yeah. The pitiful part of this is he means it.
Did you report the robbery to the police, Mr. Wilcox?
Right away, Molly. Two very nice officers came over, and we had a long talk. They asked me a lot of questions, and I wrote everything down for them.
You wrote down the stuff that was stolen?
No, I wrote down the recipe for barbecued corn and meatballs. You see, we each had a plateful while we were talking, and when they tasted that wonderful pet milk flavor, got a load of the added goodness that pet brings to all foods, they loved it.
Mm, that must have been a jolly little party. Two pavement pounders and a pet peddler.
Well, anyhow, Mr. Wilcox, I hope you find some neckties you like at our rummage sale.
Well, as a matter of fact, Molly, I've given it up. I'm going home and have a rummage sale of my own.
A rummage sale of your own?
Yes, I'm going to rummage through the icebox, get out the barbecued corn and meatballs, warm them up, and sail right into them. So long now.
So long, Hilo. Any guy that gets that corny ought to be barbecued himself. Now, look, kiddo, let's face it. We'll never sell this bunch of junk.
Now, you mustn't get discouraged, dearie. My goodness, we can't give up yet.
Well, I can, and I'm gonna. As the guy said, when the St. Bernard dog run its tongue over his face, I know when I'm licked.
Well, well, I couldn't help hearing that, McGee. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Things aren't going so well, are you, McGee?
Ah, go fry a pig.
How have you been doing at the furniture booth, Mr. Mayor?
Splendidly, Molly. I've taken in more than $200.
Oh, how in the world did you get rid of so much furniture?
Salesmanship, Molly.
Hump.
Ingenuity.
Ha!
My greatest triumph was disposing of a horrible chair that was donated by Mrs. Van Loon. At first, no one wanted it. So I ripped the upholstery, broke off one of the legs, and sold it for $50 as an antique.
Heavenly days. Who fell for that?
Mrs. Van Loon. I'll be happy to give you a few lessons in salesmanship, McGee, when I have time.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got my backup now, boy. We'll find out who's a salesman around here or not. If I can't outsell you Latrivia, I'll cut my throat.
If you'll do that in the Civic Auditorium, I'd like to have the ticket concession. I'll see you, Molly.
Now I'm really going to start selling this junk.
That's the spirit, lover.
Yeah, give me that corset full of shoes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, step right up for the biggest shoe sale in history.
Well, they're interested, all right.
Shoes for all occasions, folks. I got here a pair of high congress gaiters. Is there a high congressman in the house?
Oh, just a lot of junk.
I also got here one rubber hip boot. Is there a one-legged fisherman in the house? I also got a pair of fluffy ladies' mules. Is there a fluffy lady in the house? Is there a fluffy mule in the house?
Like they're leaving, dear.
Yeah, don't go away, folks. Don't go away. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm offering these gents walking shoes with real pearl buttons for only 50 cents. And I'm throwing in the Congress gaiters. I'm throwing in the rubber hip boots. I'm throwing in the ladies' mules. I'm throwing in the towel.
Now, wait, sweetheart. There's one more chance.
Huh?
Let's take a look in the storeroom. Maybe there's some better stuff in there.
Well, for Pete's sake, why didn't you think of that sooner? You mind the booth, and I'll go get them. Where is the storeroom?
Straight ahead, turn left at the next aisle, and it's the first door you come to.
Okay, I'm on my way. I'll make Latrivia eat every word he ever spoke, and that ought to keep a politician busy for a long time.
The King's Men and Never...
Forever. You ask me when will it fade? I tell you.
appear like a castle of sand. But I'll be waiting here with my heart.
Kiddo, these clothes I got out of that storeroom ain't bad at all, you know.
No, they're much better.
This fur coat looks pretty good.
My goodness, that looks almost like me.
You know, this better class stuff is going to give me a chance to show Latrivia that the old master ain't lost his touch. When the crowd sees
what... Uh-oh. Look who's coming.
Oh, my gosh, it's that Miss Trotter.
The busiest body in Wistful Vista.
Gee, can't we pretend we don't see her? That old bat's nosier than an anteater at feeding time.
Too late.
Yeah. Well, if it isn't the McGees. How are you, my dears?
Just fine, Miss Trotter. We haven't seen you for quite a while.
No, that's true. Although I believe I caught a glimpse of you at the movies last Friday night. I'm not sure it was you because I never watch people very closely.
Yes. Yes, we were there. We went in about 8 o'clock.
7:46.
Yeah, I guess that was us. We sat about halfway down.
In the 17th row.
It probably was.
As I said, I just caught a glimpse.
Did you happen to glimpse the what color socks I was wearing?
McGee.
Lavender.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I'm forgetting why I came to your booth. Is that fur coat for sale?
Sure, it's yours for $2.
I'll take it.
You really got a bargain, Miss Trotter.
Yes.
It's a lot like the coat I saw Mrs. Weatherby wearing this evening. She's a lady who just moved to Whistler Vista a month ago.
Yes, a very mysterious person. Nobody knows a thing about her.
I believe she used to live in Dayton, Ohio.
Columbus.
Well, anyway, I've heard that Mr. Weatherby is her second husband.
Third. Her first husband was a Mr. Mitchell, who was a paper hang in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Oh?
And her second husband was a man named Henderson, who had a drugstore in Seattle, Washington. And he ran away with a platinum blonde named Gladys Lamont, who was a chorus girl in a musical comedy and slightly pigeon-toed. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
You know, this town don't need a newspaper. Miss Trotter could just go around and throw herself on everybody's front lawn.
Well, at least you bought something.
Yeah, and that broke the ice, Tootsie. Hand me that tan top coat. Now's when I start the score.
Here you are.
This way, ladies and gents, for the real bargain.
Yes.
Real bargain's here. Who'll give me a buck for this handsome tan top coat?
Hey, I will.
It's yours, bud. Take it away. Now, here's one for the ladies. A hat that's so dad rather smart that it even looks like a hat. Do I hear $2?
You certainly do. That's for me.
All yours, sis.
Hey, you're doing fine here.
Now, here's another top coat made of camel's hair and just like new. The hair must have come off a camel that was only drove once a month by a wealthy Arabian from Pasadena. We're going good now, so let's bid on this one. Somebody start it off.
I bid $2.
$3.
$5.
$8.
Keep fighting, fellas. I hate Pete. Who's it? More than $100 took in less than 10 minutes. How's that for salesman?
Oh, Mother's proud of you, dearie. You did a great job there.
And I'll keep pitching as soon as I catch my breath. Once I get a head full of steam, I could sell fried pork chops to a guy with ulcers. I'll show the women's club what a...
Oh, hello, McGee.
Oh, so you're back, Latrivia. Good. You done some gloating when you was here before, and now it's my turn.
Yes, I understand that your sales have increased.
Betcha. The
fact that you're catching up to me.
Well, he has some better things to sell now, so...
That's got nothing to do with it, Molly. I'm just a natural-born salesman. Pulling in the pop-eyed public with the persuasive power of my potent personality.
That's what I like about you, McGee. Your modesty. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Homer. On account of your taking this like a sport, I'm going to give you a break. I got a swell top coat here that looks about your size, and you can have it for $1. Here it is.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I really don't want... Wait a minute.
Huh?
What feeble sort of joke is this? That's my top coat, the one I wore here tonight.
Oh, no, that's part of the rummage, Homer. We took it out of the store.
It's my coat, and I can prove it. Look, my name embroidered on the inside pocket.
Let's see this. Homer Latrivia, the people's choice. A vote for Latrivia is a vote for progress. Yes, I guess that must be yours. Well, just take it along, boy, and never mind about the dollar.
You're much too generous. Goodbye.
Molly.
Yes, dearie?
To get to the storeroom, did you tell me to turn left or right at the next aisle?
Left.
And if I turned right, what would have been the first door I come to?
The cloakroom.
Oh.
Where everybody hung their coats and hats.
Follow me, kiddo. We're sneaking out the back way. Oh, boy, I'm glad to be home, Molly. We just got in the house in time, too. You know that?
To keep from getting killed, you mean?
No, to listen to the radio. Eddie Cantor's program is on tonight, sister.
Heavenly days, I almost forgot. Yeah. NBC, isn't it?
Yeah. How is it them announcers say it? Stay tuned for the Eddie Cantor program, which follows immediately on most of these stations.
Right.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Evaporated Milk, Pet Milk, brings you Fibber McGee and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you?
Next, it's the Eddie Cantor Show Business Show on NBC.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday from January 15th, 1952 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.